This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, it is a new day. May not feel like it. Weather in Toronto's been terrible for 48 hours, but it happens. And yeah. The Leafs are now in Chicago, and the Raptors are coming off a loss again last night. It is it's a bit of a dark mood, I would say, in the city of Toronto right now.
Dude, what are we going to do all year?
The mood matches the weather. Honest to God, it's raining and miserable inside of our heads.
We should have all done our setups outside.
Actually, we should have thought of that. If we could pull that off, I mean, we would be freezing doing 3 hours.
Dude, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We got to grind it out because it's miserable. It's crappy. All of us on our driveways, table, and our machines, and that's the punishment that we have to endure.
I kind of like that idea. Somehow we're punished, even though we haven't done anything. We don't play.
Well, we're learning a lesson, though. We're learning lessons.
Learning lessons. That's a good point. If we were outside, can you imagine what our neighbors would think if we were outside? Like, you're in a condo. If you had to be out right in the front of the building just yelling and screaming about things, and my buddies would be across the street, even in this weather, they'll be out drinking beers within the next hour. You know, it's a Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Feels like you got to have an IPA out there and just kind of relax and see what's cooking on the street. And, yeah, lessons, man. Lessons are being learned.
I don't believe that.
One believes it. There's no lessons being learned. What lesson could you learn from getting your doors blown off at Carolina last night?
The only thing I could say, and I texted this to you guys in the first period watching that, because I thought the Leafs were going to win that game last night. I did, personally. But all I could think about is Carolina is a serious team. And I said that to you guys. And what I meant by that is tight system, work ethic, and deep skill, like as far as rounded skill. Like, you know, there's no weakness on that team. And
David Ayers on top of it all. David Ayers is in the house with positive vibes last night.
But, I mean, That's what I expected. When the Leafs were kind of rolling last year, they kind of looked like, you know, a machine that was like, hey, we'll show up tonight, we play like that, and, you know, and certain things take over. That's how Carolina plays. That's how some of the top teams play consistently.
I don't want to be negative, Nancy.
No,
but if anybody thought like that was some kind of step in the right direction yesterday, they were completely outclassed by that team in Carolina. Like that game could have been 7-1. It was just they got the first goal and you're thinking, okay, maybe they're going to play with some jam and have something here that resembles a team. But from top to bottom, that was a total ass kicking as far as like structural play, fundamentals, system work. Like that was a lesson. There's no lesson to be learned. They didn't walk away with anything. They got their ass handed to them yesterday.
Right.
It wasn't a bloodbath, and it wasn't kind of ugly, but that was a complete ass kicking. Let's just be serious.
That's
about
exactly
that
what it was. Yeah. That was a baptism last night. That wasn't a lesson. That was a who is your daddy and what does he do moment last night from Carolina. Honestly, it could have been 6 or 7-1, and then David Ayers could have played the third, and Carolina would have held on and won that game. The comment from Keefe afterwards, let's play it here because this is a guy. Why don't we play it? There's a million things to say. I have a lot of different responses to it. I'm sure the three of us do.
Sure.
This is what Sheldon Keefe had to say after the game last night.
I can only speak for myself right now, I guess. And my, you know, my confidence, you know, gets a boost in the group today for myself, frankly, just because of, again, I don't know if it shows up, you know, from where you guys are watching it from, but from ice level, like that game's played at a much higher pace. We got a real sense of, you know, what a Stanley Cup contending team looks and feels like. And our guys had to deal with that all the way through. So I think we leave here a better team. And I think, you know, despite the score and, you know, it's 3-1, I think there's a lot of good things that our team did here today, both in what our team did, but also in the lessons we'll take away from here that, you know, I believe will make us a better team moving ahead.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. One, I think Sheldon Keefe is uncertain of what he's supposed to say, uncertain of how he's supposed to handle these guys, because he's tried the yelling and screaming. He's tried to change the lineup together. He's throwing different things at the wall here. This philosophy last night is, I guess I'll prop them up. That's what it reads to me. And I think there's some honesty in there on a couple of different layers. And I'm not sure he intended to be this honest. I think he was trying to maybe deflect from his team or prop up his team. But in saying what he just said, what we all just heard, he's admitting his team isn't very good. That's what he's admitting. Because Carolina's a top five or seven team in the league. And he's admitting the Leafs just witnessed a team that's top five or seven. Now, on paper, the Leafs maybe could make an argument. And maybe by the end of the year, they get there. But right now, we're talking about in a vacuum today, Sheldon Keefe looked at two different teams and said, those guys over there are a quality team, and we're not. So we get to learn from that. And he also mentioned a pace, the word pace, which I think is imperative in all of this. The Leafs are a slow team right now. They're very slow.
With apparently a bunch of electric, dynamic, offensive players, it's like, by the way, they're horrible right now, okay? They're playing horrible. They're playing slow because they're horrible. And when you're playing poorly, you look really slow, Bri, and you look stupid. You do stupid things. Like that one play, the puck came back. Travis Dermott just got to get the puck in behind the net somehow. That's either one of the boards. It's pretty big boards, 85 feet wide. He shot it right into the guy's shin pads. It's like, you don't need to do that. Like, I don't know. Watching them, it's like slow, stupid. They're making stupid mistakes. It's just like what I talked about with Montreal, that they got that cloud over them where they can't do anything out there. It's tough to watch.
Because
they were completely embarrassed last night.
Yeah,
they can say they take lessons. I don't know.
No, there's no lessons. I mean, I said on the lunch today, it's like Van Wilder, that movie Van Wilder, where Ryan Reynolds is Van Wilder and he's in school for 7 years and he never graduates. That's the Leafs. Like, these guys, all they do is learn. They never graduate. They never apply it to the real world. It's just lesson after lesson after lesson. No one is in school longer than the Leafs without any benefit or any payback to society.
And it looks like there's no method to the madness for them, and that's when you know a team is really struggling. Like, Tiger Woods, when he was going through difficult times, his quote was, "I feel like I'm playing golf swing instead of golf." It looks like they're playing, I got to get a goal instead of playing hockey. Because each individual is like, oh, I got to get the puck and I got to do something. I got to score a goal. Where collectively, they're not even, it's almost like they're not even playing the game. They're not even playing hockey. There's no systems. There's no flow. Nobody's working together. They're playing, I got to get a goal to get flies off of me. That's what it looks like they're playing. Not hockey. I got to get a goal.
They're in their head for sure. I mean, you could see it. We talked about it yesterday, how, you know, they looked paralysis. You know what I mean? Just kind of like when you think out there instead of use your instinct, you're already a second behind. That's the worst thing you can do. And believe me, easier said than done sitting on a bar stool here from me, 50-year-old man. But we've all been there at some form in hockey where you want, it's not that you're not trying hard, it's not that you're not preparing, but you're in your own head and you're thinking plays instead of using your instinct. And I know people are picking on Marner, but it's easy to pick on him because it's evident on him. There's times when Mitch Marner, when he's at his best, we all can lay out a shift for Mitch Marner. The puck
he's
comes
example
to him
number
and
one,
never,
Jamie. He's well, playing, never I gotta get a goal.
But he's trying, but then there's times where he's like, I got to make a quick play because I don't want it on my stick. And there's other times where he's like, I'm going to hold on to it. I got nothing. I'm going to throw it down. Like whereas before, he's a guy who literally would create out of nothing because he would hold on. And people would be like, God, the guy's got patience. God, he's got vision. He's got skill. He didn't forget how to play hockey. You can tell right now he's in his head. You can tell, and it's not from a lack of effort or preparation. It's just you can tell the frustration, and that stems down and right through the lineup. And then you're looking at the lineup. You know, Sheldon's putting a second power play. I'm sorry, Pierre Engvall on the second power play. I'm sorry. Like, he's working the half wall.
I know, but when the first power play is as anemic as it is, Noodles, Pierre Engvall looks almost like Wayne Gretzky.
They have to stop putting that unit out there, the Hayes.
The first power play unit, you got to change. They're not going to. But, in practice today, they've moved.
Well, for why? Why?
Why? Around,
why?
But what the personnel is not
you
clicking.
Owe them because of their contracts to be on the first power play?
Well,
screw that.
I had a coach tell me this, and I actually think it's true. The coach would say to me, it's tough to – and this was an NHL coach. It's tough to bench a top player because you always think they're one play away from, like, changing the game. Because they're that special.
Very
true.
So
you're constantly chasing it, going, okay, maybe this is the shift where you get a little puck luck or that guy's instinct takes over and it's like, boom, TSN turning point. So we would talk about in these team meetings, like, accountability. And I'm like, why are you benching the fourth line winger? Like, that's the guy who deserves it, really, when your top players aren't playing. And he would say, I need my top players. They're the ones who are going to get me through. It's not going to be the fourth line winger who's going to be the difference in the backup goalie and the sixth defenseman. He's like, your breadwinners, the guys who you pay the big bucks and you rely on, they're going to get you through it. So I can understand the logic of, you know, throwing them out there repeatedly going, Matthews needs one look. And maybe
sink
that's
or swim
the one.
You need
sink
them.
Or swim. Yeah. And that's I whether you agree with it or not, I mean, this was a pretty good coach that told me that. And I thought, all right, you know, it makes sense, but maybe not in a vacuum on any given night.
Right. You know? And I would assume he's not alone. In fact, I would guess he's probably in the majority. If not, it's unanimous. Every coach sees it the same way, unless you're talking about something off the charts awful for whatever reason, where it's like, all right, forget it. We have to send a message here.
Right.
But the reality of sports and generally in hockey, especially with a hard salary cap, is your depth players, unless the GM has put everything together and you find a team like Tampa the last 2 years, or, you know, maybe the Chicago teams the first year they won the Stanley Cup, where everything comes together, the drafting and developing is off the charts, and you're on the verge of a dynasty, more often than not, your depth players, the way they are perceived, is based on how the best players are playing. So if the best players are chugging and doing what they're supposed to, all of a sudden you're like, hey, Pierre Engvall looked pretty good. Or, hey, Kasha looked okay. You see him chip in? Like, that was right. A big goal he contributed on top of the two from Matthews and one from Marner and one for Tavares. When the big boys are not, you're focused more on the other guys and you realize they're pedestrian players. You know, they're depth guys for a reason. Like, you can't ask David Kampf to drag you somewhere. Like, I had one goal last year.
And I understand the negative vision on them, because when the top guys are performing like they are, they're dragging the ship down, and then you're looking, you're like, that guy's terrible. As opposed to when the big guys are chugging, you're like, wow, that was great that guy chipped in that goal.
What a chip in by Dermott.
Looking for it, when the other guys are invisible, you're like, maybe you're not that good. I completely agree with that. That's probably one of the top 10, only 10 times on this show where you've had a hockey point of view that was of any value.
But it's a great point, because you get dragged up or
it's
dragged
a great
down
point,
by
Brian.
Who you play.
One way or the other. Well, that's
one
a good
way or
point,
the other.
B.
A lot of times, you know, great players will drag you into a next stratosphere. We see it all the time. But when they're struggling, a lot of times they just focus on what's in front of them. They're not worried about, you know, their line mates and making that guy good, because they're just trying to be good themselves. You know, I always like to preach, like, let's play the long view. It's just hard to do when you've had really uninspired efforts. Like, that's the thing that I look at is, like, Carolina, I don't mind that, you know,
machine.
It bounce here or there and stuff, but like outworked out, you know, like
top
detailed,
to bottom, commitment
that
to details,
stuff,
commitment to a system.
That stuff doesn't sit well from a coach, from a fan, when you're on the outside going, you know, it's not about running a guy through the wall, but it's the attention to detail that might be the difference in winning or losing.
That
or
team, that Carolina team
battle.
Noodles, as
They're
far
good,
as like systems and like positioning and work, you don't get any better than that. That's as good as it gets in the National Hockey League. That's
well,
as good
strong.
As it damn gets.
And especially coming off the weekend the Leafs just had is the point. That just it keeps digging deeper and deeper, where you're like, is the bell ever going to ring? Is the light going to go on? All these lessons, when are you going to actually put them to practice? And I guess Sheldon Keefe is speaking to the media right now, or just wrapped up, and I saw this one quote, and it may be out of context. We'll try to find the audio. But I think he's basically admitting with this comment that the Leafs are not playing hard enough. He said, quote, everyone is working hard, but there is another level to get to, end quote. If there's another level, they're not working hard enough, right? Like, right. You either work hard or you don't. There's no gray area with, I'm working hard, but can get a little bit harder. If you can get harder, you're not working hard enough as a pro athlete.
Dude, and he can say whatever he wants to the media, Brian, but people are smart in Ontario. These players can think whatever they want about what it's like playing in Toronto, but they're not stupid. They know that you can only go back to the drawing board so many times and say, well, there's lessons, there's another level. We have to keep on working hard. We were embarrassed out there. It's never going to happen again. Because they've already had it.
No,
they're like, I can't
it.
Listen.
Yeah. No,
people
are already
buying
not buying
that.
People,
that's nonsense.
Right. People are more angry, more vitriolic, and it's a different level of it. There's more layers to it than in the past. And I know it's popped up a lot of times in the last 15, 20 years, 30, 40 years. You know, with this,
and I'm not. I'm not angry. I'm not. I don't have the vitriol and all that nonsense. I do this job with you guys, and I love it. But I would just. Right. I would just love, as a guy that played for the team, and I didn't play for the team very long. But I would just like them to put their name on something where you could come on here. I could come on here as a former player of the team and say, "Well, they scratched and clawed, man, and you had to. They Carolina had to do everything in their damn power to beat them." Everything.
Well,
but for seven games, it's like, wow, they got their asses handed to them. Not much of anything to say by anybody.
Don't know if it's in their DNA. I don't know if it's in their DNA. Like watching the game last night, watching the last couple of years, you look at the protected eight that Dubas protected from Seattle. And this is the core of this team. And really the ride or die for this whole operation is based around these four players in conjunction with Campbell and Mrazek, who have to be above average tandems, right? Have to be right. An above average tandem because you need goaltending. I mean, that goes without saying. The house collapses if you don't have goaltending. You got to have it. But the four forwards up front and the top four defensemen. Why did it work so well for this team last year? Because the four up front were rock stars for the most part. Took a while for Tavares to get going, but he got going by the end and he was cooking during the regular season. And the top four defense were locked in. They were healthy and they were cohesive and they played very well. Riley, Brody, Muzzin, Hull. Right now, the eight are not performing well enough. Nylander started well. Nylander has kind of come back to
the vortex.
He's got sucked into the vortex. The top four defense have not been good enough, not even close to good enough. They're all capable of being a lot better. I think we all believe they will at some point. It's going to click. But that is the essence of this team. But also when you go through each guy one by one, I don't remember any of them looking visibly angry on the ice at any point. No. Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Riley, Brody, Muzzin, Hull. Not in their DNA. And this is a city that, again, when we consider victories and we consider winning with this Maple Leaf organization, you have to go back to the early 2000s. Who do you think of? You think of Roberts, Tucker, you know, Domi. Right. Before that, you think Clark, you think Gilmore. Like, that's what we're kind of used to. And it's not their fault, these guys, because they're not those players and no one expects them to be. And it's a new era, it's a new world, it's a different game. But of the eight protected players that are, again, the essence of this team, they're going to either sink or swim with them. I don't expect one of them to show up in Chicago tomorrow and play mean, play with an edge, and, you know, get into a fight, throw hits. That's just not happening. It's not who they are.
But
they play the game steady and just go out there and do their thing and hope the chips fall the way they're supposed to fall.
I often reference Sidney Crosby, how he has like an anger game where it's physical.
You can
like
see
determined.
It.
You could see it. There's just the word is just determined.
Yes.
And he goes after pucks and he holds on to it and you're not taking it off him. And he can will his team to victory. And I talked yesterday about Austin Matthews referencing Freddie Anderson, how it was like, I almost thought for certain he would say, you know what? I really don't care that Freddie's in net tonight. We had dinner and that's it. We got a win tonight and that's the end of the story. But it was like, it's kind of funny to see him in there. He's got red on now. It's not blue. I'm like, and that's fine and everything. It's like he's your buddy. But I just thought one of them would be like, we are in goal mode or something. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Again, play like it. Like say whatever you're going to say off the ice. It is what it is. Play like you are embarrassed,
like the house
or
is on
angry
fire.
Or determined, like, and that's it. And I don't know if any – I don't think I expect any of them to do that tomorrow.
Well,
doesn't mean they won't play well. Doesn't mean they won't win or be – you know, Matthews could score three tomorrow night. They could win 7-0. But I don't think you'll walk away saying, wow, man, that was like – they're not accepting anything but 2 points. walking out of the building. I don't know if it's the way they're built.
No, I yeah,
until
I
they prove
to,
otherwise. That's their history right now.
You're right, and that's just a lot of that is their DNA, their makeup. That they're, you know, guys are skilled. They play a certain way. You know, they don't have it in them that way. Whereas we talk about a guy like Brad Marchand, who is, you know, he's a small package, but man, he's got bite, right?
And yes.
He plays with a bite, but he also puts up 100 points. These guys aren't like that. They're just different. And that it's fine when it's rolling along. Here's what I was thinking, though, too. And I pulled up, for example, a guy like Patrick Kane's stats. This is the thing that they all have to get their minds wrapped around, too. Starting the season on paper, we can go, you know, pencil Matthews in for whatever, 55, whatever. Marner's going to get 100 in the bank. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen every year. Like, Patrick Kane, I'm just looking at his stats. For example, had 106 points 1 year, went to 89, went to 76, back to 110. They don't have their best years every year.
Right.
But you have to be a difference maker. That's the difference, and that's what you're talking about is if Marner's not scoring last night or Matthews or Tavares, you better be good in your own zone. You better drag your team to a different or drag your line mates or, you know, you can be responsible because it's not just about point production. For me, the way I am with this Leaf team, like they're not earning contracts. They got them. It's more about where is this team going as a team? And I see it time and time again right now. If I am game planning against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I choose two out of the four, and I go, they are not getting a sniff tonight, and we'll take our chances with our depth. Mm-hmm. And teams that have been beating them have been doing that. You're going to shut down
Marner. And the one other thing I can't figure out, and you can throw the Raptors in there too as well. Leo Routens was talking about points off of turnovers last night. It's like turnovers in the best league in the world? How is any pro team turning it over that much in any sport? It's like – what is this, amateur hour? Like, just passes up guys' asses, passes all over. I don't get it. Like, turnovers in the big leagues must drive a coach absolutely insane, because it would me.
It would for sure, and that was the Raptors' kryptonite last night. I think they had 27 turnovers to the Bulls' 12.
Like, you know, in like the best league in the world, I don't care how young you are. What are you doing out there?
Well, but that's the thing. Nick Nurse, I'm sure, is angry, not happy about it, knows he has to rectify it, but the Raptors are incredibly young. The Raptors do not have right. high expectations. The Leafs, comparing and contrasting, is completely unfair. It shouldn't be. It should not be a doable practice or exercise, because the Leafs, again, it comes back to lessons. Raptors will give you lessons. Scotty Barnes is quite literally learning lessons right now. He's played in the league 4 games. Mitch Marner is in his 6th season. Like, there's no comparison. It's
yeah,
not
he knows
even
the league.
Close.
He knows
of
the
course
league.
He knows the league. And, of course, he knows the temperature, and he knows the expectation. And Matthews, and like, Tavares has been in the league for over 10 years. 13 years he's been in the league. Been a captain for a long time. John didn't really show up with much last night. You know, right. like, it's – I'm curious to see how Keefe is going to handle the pace, the turnovers, because that is a big part of it. You can see the forecheck from Carolina last night. They're just – they're leaning on guys. Like, Muzzin and Hall. Jake Muzzin does not look right. Like, something's – and I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just naturally
both
lost a quarter step. But the thing is, they're not equals. You know, I use this analogy again on the lunch today. This is not Lennon and McCartney, Muzzin and Hall. This is Lennon and Ringo Starr. Like, right. Hall needs Muzzin. If Muzzin is off even an inch, Justin Hall is in trouble, right? Like, it's never been Hall props up Muzzin, Muzzin props up Hall. It's always been a one-way street. And if Muzzin is off, and he is, his turnovers have been pretty bad. He's not getting the pucks. Like, he's never been, he's not a fast skater, mm-hmm. but he's quick enough to get there, and
he's
uses his size.
Too. He's cagey.
Really
cagey.
He
knows exactly what to do.
He's got IQ, and he uses his size to his advantage, right? He blocks guys out. He pushes plays to the corner, pushes plays away from the front of the net. But if you're a quarter of a step too slow, then you can't get there. Or you got to make a play even quicker, and maybe you're just not calibrating that properly. And that's what I'm seeing.
Hall
I'm
and
seeing
Muzzin,
their top four just getting leaned on the back end. It's a big problem. They can't transition. They can't get up the ice.
Hall and Muzzin is back in the day like you and your boy Dave going to the club single. You needed Dave to be the guy that would make things happen, and you would ride shotgun with Dave Seedy.
Dave, good looking?
Completely opposite goals, but...
Dude, I'll DM Dave right now. We chat often, and I'll say, who ran the show in that routine? And I know my man Dave. He could talk a big game.
He can talk a big game. Hey, listen, we're a couple of top four defensemen. It doesn't matter where you fall in the shuffle. You're on the board in the top four.
Did Dave have some game?
He would claim he did. I don't.
Dude, I guarantee he had phantom game. Yeah, I went away with some other buddies and did some damage.
Yeah, exactly. Like you didn't see it. You weren't around, but man, was I really starting to make some moves. You should have seen me last night down at the Brunny or the Maddie. When the lights came on, she didn't freak. That's a start. The lights came on and she didn't throw up and leave the building. So that was a start.
I love it.
So, yeah, anyway, the Leafs, they're in Chicago. We're going to come back and talk about the news of the day in sports, obviously, is in Chicago and what was revealed today and the aftermath of an investigation into how the team handled really serious allegations 11 years ago, the first Stanley Cup they won 11 years ago. And Stan Bowman, longtime GM of the team, he is out. He has made a statement on the way out. We will tell you about that. We'll get into it. What kind of ripple effect it could have on other teams and other personnel throughout the league. So we'll get into that. Game one of the World Series tonight down in Houston. Houston taking on the Braves. We'll tee that up. Al's brother will be in studio. He's around. He's lurking. He just missed out on a cover last night. He's getting close.
He's a cooler again. Like, that's another Monday night 500 for you, right?
Yeah, that is actually, Noodles. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. Philanthropist. I told you, he's a charitable guy, and I think we need to start looking at it through those lens.
It's actually embarrassing. It's terrible.
It's almost statistically impossible now. Like, there are houses in Vegas that are like, I don't know how this is possible. Like, we got to fly this guy in as the cooler. Like, we need to cool down a table, send Al's brother over there, and just have him touch the felt.
Well, I'm checking the waiver wire to see if O put him on there, because I think that was the last straw yesterday, wasn't
that
it?
That was the claim. We'll see what kind of response Al's brother has in the O-Dog. We'll get to that a little bit later on this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Al's brother will be in studio later on. We'll get his response to the game last night. Big win by the New Orleans Saints, but big cover by the Seahawks. And Al's brother was convinced that was going to be a win and a cover by the Saints last night. And it happens. I mean, 1 point, that basically counts as a tie.
Dude, would you honestly just zip it? I get it, okay? We're getting killed. I don't want to do it anymore. Get another guy. Get Gord Miller said he would do it.
What do you mean, get Gord Miller? We're not getting Gord Miller.
Gord said he would make the picks. So get Gord next or Thursday.
You're the guy. It's three times a week. It's a long season. I think the ship is slowly turning. I don't think you can see it, but it's...
Dude, you say this every week, and then me and the guy behind the glass...
Aren't you like 15-1 in the last 16? Like,
erroneous,
what is the
Noodles. Erroneous.
Erroneous. Now you're... You know what the thing is? You're being condescending about it. You're actually enjoying... Like, you're... You know that you're enjoying this. The smile. I wait for the tweet every night of Beansy. Now
you've stopped doing
that
anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you. I told you yesterday. I'm concerned HR is going to reach out and say you got to stop. Like, this is you're starting. You're really putting these guys in a bad position.
Is it our picks this week, Thursday and the Monday?
No, I have. The Thursday and Monday.
So you've got first choice.
This is the ultimate rinsing. We're going down in flames.
It's a tough one on Thursday night because it's Arizona at home to the Packers. It's a great game, but the Packers are dealing with COVID. Devontae Adams is on the COVID protocol. Lazard is just placed on it this afternoon. They could be down two of their three or four top wideouts, including obviously Devontae Adams, who is their number one target, number one wideout. Short week, Arizona, it's a tough game. I'll bet you the line will move between now and kickoff. I think Arizona's a pretty big favorite right now. So,
well,
we'll see.
You'll find a way. We'll find a way.
We'll find a way I'll look at the board and I'll see if I got my Patrick Laine shades on, or maybe I got the bubbles glasses on this week. Who knows?
Well, it is something else right now. The rinsing, like, to your point, it's not even worth talking about. It's gotten past. It's awkward now. That's how you feel. You're acting awkward because it's a formality.
It's awkward. Yeah, it is. I mean, the Matsuyama win, that one, I was proud of that. That was a good pick. And, you know, the Braves, I was handing out odds. I'm just, you know, everything's coming in haze right now, and there's not much I can do about it. I'm trying to throw a couple of games.
Yeah.
And maybe I will on Thursday night. Who knows?
We'll what see about what happens. What about a G-note to get things back in track on the World Series?
I'm assuming you're going to like your Houston Astros. Is that your pick? Is that who
you're
rooting for?
I got to take my Astros.
Yeah, I'm willing to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, I think we could do that. And I should probably be getting odds, but because I'm a nice guy, I'll do it straight up.
Dude, you can't do that to me. You got to throw me a bone here. Come on.
I'm throwing you odds. Houston's favored to win the World Series.
No, I'm saying it's just a straight up.
It's a straight up
bet.
Okay.
Win. That's it.
Lock
straight
it
up
in.
Win.
Take it. I'm a pushover right now. I just want to be a part of the ride, and I'm on the Braves. I guess I'm rolling with the Braves, man, the comeback kids, game one tonight in Houston. So we'll tee that up later this afternoon. Steve Phillips will join us. We'll get Al's brother in here. I promised him I'd let him respond. I was on the launch today. Yeah. It's awkward because I'm calling him Mike. Michael.
Who's Mike?
It's, well, evidently that's his real name. We've been calling him Al's brother for 5 years.
But we follow him on Twitter. But, yes, we know him. Nobody knows him as Mike other than the people, the listeners.
Yeah, like Julia calls him Mike, which I think is very nice of her to do that, and professional and appropriate and all that. But as of 4 p.m., it's Al's brother. So Al's brother will be in here in just a little bit. Mike Johnson still to come. Marcellus Wiley in about an hour. So the Chicago Blackhawks, they have vetted a lot of people throughout the organization, and this investigation was launched a few months ago throughout the summer with basically it was based on reporting, and I believe there's a criminal case involved in this in terms of the handling of what happened 11 years ago, where a then video coach was alleged to have sexual assaulted or at least made advancements on a player, and it came to the attention of the hierarchy of the Blackhawks, and this investigation was basically to detail who knew what, how they handled it, and whether or not they handled it appropriately. And as of this afternoon, we found out that clearly they did not, according to the Chicago Blackhawks ownership and the league, because the league has fined the Blackhawks $2 million retroactively, basically, because of what happened 11 years ago. And Stan Bowman, the longstanding GM, president of hockey operations, he resigned earlier today. And in his statement, the way I read it was, he is claiming he handed it over to John McDonough, who was his superior, and then Stan Bowman basically thought, because that's my superior, he'll take it, he'll deal with it. And Stan is claiming in the statement that he didn't realize it was not taken care of appropriately until this past summer. So McDonough is the one that Stan Bowman is pointing to, but McDonough doesn't work with the team anymore.
So what, Stan just didn't check in on the...
That's the way it reads in his statement.
Yeah,
that's the way it reads in his statement.
You know, it's passing the buck. There's a lot of people that are culpable. I mean, the dust has yet to settle. There's still, I think, multiple interviews and continued investigation. On so many levels, this is unfortunate because, you know, it sounds like multiple victims, not just one, because he made advances on others. Then he went on to
an intern after the fact,
after people were made aware of it. In the organization. And then he went on, and not discounting, but this was adults, technically, that he was dealing with. Now he went on to, you know, get hired at different levels and work with minors. And that's what's even, I don't know if you can, it's disgusting, but it's even a higher level of disgusting when you're dealing with, you know, minors. Not that
what's crazy to think about, Noodles, is when your kid, and they are kids when they ultimately, they're always kids to the parents that leave their house and they're doing other things in life. And imagine being the parent when this goes up the chain and through different people's desk and the comment is, well, we're in the finals right now, so we can't deal with this right now. Imagine being the parent of that kid and those being reading those transcripts that are just being passed back. Well, it was the finals, so didn't want to be like that guy's lucky. Like whoever's parent, like people come from all different walks of life, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It's the worst of the worst.
Well, and that's what came out in the investigation is more and more details. We're talking a document that is hundreds of pages long that, you know, was detailed to some extent earlier this afternoon. It coincided with Stan Bowman stepping down, among others. And yet, Joel Quenneville, who's down in Florida, he was the head coach. And one of the details that came out of the investigation is what you're talking about, O, that Stan Bowman claims he went to Quinville and John McDonough, who was the president and CEO of the team, and said, this is the issue. And according to Bowman, they said, well, we're in a cup final here. We can't be dealing with this right now. You know, essentially, I'm paraphrasing. But if that's the case, Joel Quinville could find himself in some very hot water because he has said recently that he only found out about this past summer. Right. So if he was in the room and he knew more about it than he's telling publicly 11 years ago, then Joel Quinville clearly is the next one that's going to have the answer to this. And Gary Bettman has issued a statement saying he will speak with Quinville, and we'll try to get more details on that. Kevin Cheveldayev was the assistant GM in Chicago at the time, also in the room when they were talking about these allegations. And now he is the GM in Winnipeg. So it goes above and beyond just the Chicago Blackhawks organization.
It is, and there's a web here, and they got to go through the process. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. Like, I know a lot of these guys, and, you know, it's this is a bad situation. I mean, one of my best friends played the Swift Current for Graham James when that nonsense was going on, when Sheldon Kennedy and all of those guys were being abused by that piece of garbage. And, you know, like I say, it's a serious thing, and it should be taken seriously, and... You know, this is the first step, I believe, now that it's public, but we haven't heard the end of it. That's really the truth.
And we're still dealing with, I believe, the court system, and, you know, nothing has been proven in the court of law, right? So we're still dealing with allegations. But what can happen with stories like this, because they're so public and dealing with such public figures, is, you know, the fingers get pointed at different people. I don't know what was said in that room. We don't know who knew what. When they knew it, but there were victims involved, and there was a predator here, an alleged predator. That's the guy who should be, you know, we got to remember that he was the one that should be dealing with this. If it happened, he should deal with serious repercussions, you know, and I hope that he does face those serious repercussions. But the Blackhawks at this point, they have to deal with whether or not they covered it up. Did they know what they were supposed to be doing? Did they handle it appropriately? It's very complex. You know, but ultimately what it comes down to is it's a dark story. It's a terrible look. And you feel horrible for the victims. And there's not much, you know, more that we can say about it other than that is I hope Chicago cleans it up appropriately. And I hope the league, talk about lessons. We were kind of mocking that idea earlier in the hour when it applied to the Leafs, but this should be a lesson to everyone involved.
Well, society is coming.
With society, not just in sports.
Right. Look, this is all over society.
Yeah.
And you hope that, you know, 2021 looks a lot different than 2010 and period. Like, this isn't just reserved for, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks in this disgusting situation. Like, there's, you know, churches being taken to the woodshed and you name it, politicians, all like this is, you know, society is progressing.
Yep.
And you hope that it continues. And, you know, this is another example of things like hockey is 95% amazing, but the 5%, there's serious issues there.
Yep.
And they have to be dealt with.
Yep. And that's, I think, the role of the commissioner at this point and others in the legal department to properly vet it, to figure it out, and to hand out repercussions if they're necessary. And as of now, we're talking a $2 million fine. Stan Bowman is out. I'm not sure he gets another job in hockey. We'll see. We'll find out. His statement would have sounded protected to me, like, hey, John McDonough, I tried to do this, but McDonough, my boss, didn't do enough.
Right.
But, again, without being in that room, and I have not read through all of the documents, I don't want to say something out of turn without knowing exactly what was reported and what was investigated and how it was handled and how it should be appropriately handled in the future. But, you know, don't want to lose sight of victims here and what looks to have happened 11 years ago. And hopefully this is the start of a new era there.
Yep.
Mike Johnson will join us in 20 minutes. Marcellus Wiley in about an hour. The Leafs are back in action tomorrow night. The Raptors coming off a loss. There's a lot to get into. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Tampa on Thursday, November 4th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf eclipsed the 100-point mark once during his NHL career.
Ooh.
Once during his NHL career, this former Maple Leaf eclipsed the 100-point mark. once during his NHL career. So bank that. That's two clues. Three more to go. And on Friday, listen for the cue to call, and you go see the Leafs take on Tampa. Game I'm sure they'll be fired up for. A lot of lessons. I think that's when the lessons pay
Tampa
off.
Tampa might have learned some lessons from Buffalo.
They got spanked last night by Buffalo. Spanked.
Buff.
Shout out to Buffalo. 7,000 people in the building, but a win is a win is a win.
Buffalo deserved a little love because they've had a nice start. You know, we thought it was going to be dreadful there. Might end
Doesn't
up still
the nice
being.
Start, Noodles, get more asses in the seats? Like, come on, throw my bone.
I'm of the mindset, you guys tell me how you feel personally. If I was offered free tickets, I still wouldn't be going. Like, that's just me personally. And I'm vaccinated, and I feel like life is getting back to normal. I'm on planes, obviously, to travel. But it's just certain people, I think, are still finding their way back. I would say, I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, Buffalo is
I think they rely on a lot of Canada, too.
Well, yeah, that could be a part of it, too. A lot of people from St. Catharines, Niagara Falls on the other side of it. Al's brother is from Niagara Falls. Why don't we bring him in here? He's our Buffalo correspondent.
Yeah, it's
Al's
true.
Brother probably knows what's up. What's your take on that? Al's brother.
Hang on a sec. Before you weigh in on the Buffalo Sabres, what are we doing here?
Oh, you can't tell me that you watched like that game last night and came away saying that the Saints should not have covered the number.
I want to know big picture. I want to know big picture why we lose every game. Do we not have anything better to offer? What are we doing wrong? What happened last night now?
Well, last night, there was two plays. One, it was an 84-yard catch and run, blown coverage. DK takes it to the house. It's like the second drive of the game. Oh. That was the only time that Seattle found the end zone. Like, you can't tell me that Seattle outplayed the Saints. I mean, they stopped run the way they were supposed to. But Jameis Winston just couldn't really muster up much offense himself. Kamara did as much as he possibly could, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough, clearly. And we dropped it by 1 point. 1 point. And the worst part is you in the text chain said, oh, it's still alive, could get safetied here. And he almost got safetied on fourth down in the end zone, which would have covered, but it didn't happen.
No, I honestly thought Geno Smith was going to legitimately take a safety, and he almost did. It was like shocking to watch that happen in real life. And then I was like, pick six, and it almost happened. And when the Seahawks took those two dumb penalties to extend the drive, I'm waiting for Jameis to punch in six, and they couldn't do it.
That
touchdown. Field goal, it's 13-10, exactly, and I'm like, here we go. They're actually going to cover this. And I'm just curious, like, when does it get to a point where you develop your tremendous information, you apply it to your pick, and then before you announce it, you just take the complete opposite? Like, shouldn't you start doing that? Here's opposite Al's brother?
The problem is, I know I've played that game before, Brian. I may not say it out loud, but I've played that way before. And the second you go opposite of what you're thinking, you end up losing that way, too.
Right.
Like, it's like
it
in blackjack, right? If you hit on 16 every time on blackjack, and the one time you don't, you see a 5 come up, the next one, you are hitting yourself in the head every time.
Well,
betting
the
same way.
I don't know what to tell you, Al's brother. I'm pulling for you guys. I mean, now you're on the Houston Astros in the World Series. Do you like that? I mean, the O-Dogs jump. Do you like
no.
the, do you like the, oh, you
I
like the Braves?
I hate it. I think the Braves are going to totally win this thing.
Oh, there really? You go. A little reverse psychology, I think, from Al's brother. Everything's coming up spades for you guys.
Like, I mean, if you have any type of different methodology or
like, we got it. Or whatever.
I don't know. I think you guys should reach out to somebody. Like, what you should do, the two of you should be reaching out to our TSN NFL analysts, like Carol Wagland or your, you know, you name it.
Yeah,
like,
Davis Sanchez, anybody.
Davis Sanchez, like, reach out to any of them
brother,
and be
can
like.
Can you do that? Can you do that for the weekend coming up and then I can maybe have some forgiveness in me?
I will do that.
Can you reach out to those people?
I will reach out to my good boy, Davis Sanchez. I've reached out to him before. Big E, Eric Cohen, doing some good things with TSN Edge.
The Big E knows what's up.
I can get in his ear and see what he thinks is up for this weekend's games. I'll make sure that I come prepared this weekend. It may not even be my pick. I may just try and compile what everyone else is thinking and then just say, you know what? This is what the experts say. Let's roll with it.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Basically, you're the voice of reason, right? Like,
dude,
everyone else is telling you
it makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't we be doing it for
Honestly,
you should have been doing that for a while.
Yeah, but you can take a horse to water, right? You just can't make
we're
it.
We're the
Leafs. I don't know.
We're the Leafs.
We have to just.
We've learned lessons, and we're going to go back at it this weekend.
That's right.
Take a horse to water. I love that.
Take a horse to water. You can't force it to drink it. That's Al's brother and Team Al Dog right now.
And if we lose again this weekend, then that's more lessons that we will have to learn from and try and implement, the next week.
Yeah, week
Dude,
nine.
I swear to God, if we get roasted this weekend, this is over. I'm not kidding. It's over.
Well, yeah. It's week eight. We're not in the early stages. It's
halfway
almost
through.
U.S. Thanksgiving. But, there's still a long runway here. So
you take your deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're gonna flush it and move on.
Staring at a lot of deuces.
That's honestly the problem. It's like a porta potty. These guys are doing a handstand.
Come on, flush, you bastard!
All right, Al's brother. We'll ask you about the Buffalo scene at some point too. I want to get your knowledge because you're familiar with the Niagara area and how much they rely on the Canadians crossing the border for games. So, source of information, Al's brother. All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson, Marcellus Wiley, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.